What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And we've closed the phone lines. We may reopen them in hour number three, but I really do have to get some news here. Russia, as we mentioned before, is deploying fighter jets to Crimea. And they're sending the Sukhoi 27 and Sukhoi 30. And it's going to be a permanent deployment. And again, Russia is saying their information is that Poroshenko is getting ready to do some kind of a provocation along the border with Crimea. Now, despite the threats of war in the Donbass, the United States is continuing weapons deliveries to Ukraine. Well, it's not despite threats of war. The U.S. wants a war in the Donbass. The U.S. is trying to encroach closer and closer to Russia, trying to provoke a Russian response so they can say, bad Russians, no vodka. So apparently moving through Congress is a military financing package of around $250 million and the ability to sell additional equipment. This came from Volker to reporters in Brussels. And he went on out and said, Ukraine is under attack from Russia and defended a Western military presence near or even within that country to raise the visibility of Russians' actions. So there is the giveaway. They're talking about U.S. forces in Ukraine. That's what they're getting ready to do. That may be where the troops who are currently in Syria are about to be sent here. Now, General Dynamics, which is a big, big defense contractor, and they're out there whining and crying over the fact that Canada is considering scrapping the Saudi arms deal over the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. And General Dynamics is saying this is going to cost billions of dollars. It's going to be, you know, huge amounts. And apparently they're getting ready to say that Canada would be liable for those losses. So they want the deal to keep on going. Now, a little bit of good news down in Yemen. The ceasefire, for the most part, is holding. And the city of Hodeidah is calm. The ceasefire took full effect. Both sides are accusing each other of violations. And there's been a bit of gunfire, but generally calm has prevailed. And hopefully this is going to allow the United Nations to get some supplies through those humanitarian corridors and to those people who desperately, desperately need it. Now, under this truth, both sides are to withdraw all forces from Hodeidah and the surrounding area within 21 days. There is no sign yet such redeployment is happening, which is likely a function of neither side trusting the other to honor the truce from the start, except that the Houthis are saying that they don't think the deal is final. They're claiming the United Nations has made this announcement and just expects everybody to go along with it. But in point of fact, the talks are still continuing. And somebody needs to send a memo to Saudi Arabia, which is still sending in airstrikes. As I mentioned before, the United States is now bombing Somalia. And apparently, over last weekend, they carried out six airstrikes against the coastal town of Garndarsh. Now, AFRICOM says 62 people were killed in these strikes, and all were terrorists from Al-Shabaab. Well, when you're bombing from the air and you're in a populated area, yeah, you're going to be killing civilians. So, another lie here. Over in Pakistan, apparently, a Pakistani court has sentenced two Christians in Punjab to death for the crime of blasphemy following their arrest back in 2015. And apparently, these two brothers, Kusar and Amun Ayub, were accused in 2011 of posting material offensive to Islam on their website and subsequently sent to the Chulam prison in Lahore in 2015. Kusar testified that he'd shut down the offending website in 2009, but that a Muslim acquaintance of his had resurrected the site, keeping the copyright in Kusar's name. So it went back and forth, and apparently on the 13th of this month, Judge Javed Iqbal Bosal heard the case in the Jhelum prison for security reason, declared the brothers guilty, and sentenced them to death. These men are married. Kaisar is the father of three children. So this killing of each other over whose version of the imaginary playmate in the sky is the correct one, I think it's a mental illness. In fact, I would have to say that it's a contagious mental illness, and it does seem to be infecting much of the world here. Now, Japan, which for pretty much the entire period after World War II swore off being military aggressors, they had defensive forces only, that seems to be changing. Because on the 11th of this month, Kyoto News Agency reported Japan plans to effectively upgrade its helicopter carriers to enable them to transport and launch fighter jets. Now, this would basically make these helicopter carriers, which have a straight deck, function like World War II aircraft carriers. They're not going to have an angled deck, but still, it's very, very significant that Japan is now starting to think about this kind of power projection. And these developments reported in the same week as the anniversary of the Nanking Massacre of 1937 and 38, which remembrance went totally unreported by the corporate media, but it's certainly remembered in China, where over a period of 6 weeks, Imperial Japanese Army forces brutally murdered hundreds of thousands of people and wreaked further death and destruction there and throughout Asia until they lost the war in 1945. And of course, this month there was another anniversary, which was that of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Over in North Korea, they have declared that they will not agree to denuclearization if the vicious U.S. actions continue. And in a press statement from the Policy Research Director of Institute of American Studies from North Korea's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the regime expressed its shock and indignation at the continued commitment by the United States of vicious anti-North Korea hostile actions. And they're complaining about how virtually every day they've slandered North Korea out of sheer malice. Now, possibly in response to that, possibly in response to the need to show they're doing something, the U.S. is now seeking to expedite aid for North Korea. And they're going to try and expedite humanitarian aid up to North Korea and see if that can restart the stalled nuclear talks. All righty. Over in Israel, the Israeli government deal with the Hamas party was done to undermine the incentive for Palestinian security coordination. And as the Israeli military is dragged into implement colonial policing and the atrocities start to pile up, popular support among the Palestinians for Hamas is growing, and they have never been stronger. So their divide and conquer attempt failed rather miserably. Two of the U.S. Senate's most conservative members proposed a non-binding resolution on Tuesday encouraging U.S. recognition of Israeli sovereignty in the Golan Heights as punishment for Bashar Assad in Syria. Because he gassed his own people. That's, again, the big lie. He gassed his own people, so we're going to give the Golan to Israel. And I read the story, and I'm thinking to myself, isn't it wonderful that things are so good in the United States that our members of Congress have lots of free time to worry about Israel? I mean, you would think U.S. senators would have a lot of items on their desks to deal with, items that are important to the American people, things that are important to the country as a whole, things that are important, for example, to the economy. But apparently, no, apparently their desks are clear. So they're sitting back there and they're saying, I'm getting bored. What am I going to do here? Well, let's do something nice for Israel. Anyway. As you know, the Knesset is advancing legislation to legalize 66 outposts deep in the West Bank. Now, people like to refer to the illegal settlements. They're all illegal under international law. But in Israel, the settlements are the settlements, the ones that the Israeli government has authorized, the ones where Israelis have just gone on in and set up their own settlement without permission. They're called the outposts. And right now, the Knesset is looking at this law to retroactively legalize 66 of them. And there has been virtually no response whatsoever from the Trump administration. Basically, all we're getting from the White House is no comment. Now, Israel is lodging furious protests with Russia over its recent invitation to Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh to visit Moscow later this month. And the objections were raised both by Israel's embassy in Moscow and in conversations with the Russian embassy in Tel Aviv. Russian officials have rejected the complaints, noting that Israel was itself talking to Hamas, albeit indirectly, and the Hamas delegation is expected in Moscow in late December. Now, over at the Arab League, they have adopted a resolution calling on Australia and Brazil to abide by international law concerning the status of Jerusalem. And it came after Brazil's president-elect Jair Bolsonaro announced in November his intention to move Brazil's embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Last Saturday, Australia announced its recognition of West Jerusalem as Israel's capital, although a contentious embassy shift from Tel Aviv will not occur until a peace settlement is achieved. Now, both Israel and Palestine claim Jerusalem is their capital. Israel is supposed to get West Jerusalem. Palestine is supposed to get East Jerusalem. Israel wants it all. That's been the problem all along. If Israel would grant to Palestine that which it demands for itself, recognition of a right to exist, all of this bloodshed over the last decades could have been avoided. Israel's always complaining about all the nations in the Middle East who refuse to recognize it. They're all ready to do so. They've already stated they're ready to recognize Israel the moment Israel recognizes Palestine. And there is the impasse. Up in Alaska, the U.S. Navy is considering whether to deploy submarine hunting P-8 Poseidon aircraft to a Cold War era base in Alaska in an effort to keep a closer eye on Chinese and Russian movements in the Arctic. They're going to start fighting over the ice, I guess, here. And so the Russians are warming up 5 airstrips and 10,000 Spetsnaz troops in the Arctic for quote unquote search and rescue. The Chinese are up there. Everybody is up there. U.S. Navy Secretary Richard Spencer told lawmakers last week. Everybody but us, fired back Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan. So, oh good, they've got a new place to fight over. All righty. Putin has come on out with a statement saying that he hopes that Russia's advanced weapons will make those accustomed to militarist rhetoric stop and think. I certainly hope the same thing. And he's saying these weapons are there to ensure Russia's security and will hopefully force those who've been accustomed to militarist rhetoric to think. Putin told the defense ministry's expanded board meeting on Tuesday. And he said there's been a serious breakthrough made in the developing advanced and unparalleled weapons, and I hope our newest systems will give everybody pause there. Now, serial production of the Avangard hypersonic missile system has been launched, and successful tests of Russia's most advanced Sarmat intercontinental ballistic missile have been successfully carried out. The Kinzhal air-launched precision hypersonic weapon is on combat duty right now. So is the Parasvet combat lasers. They're actually out there deployed and in use here. So looking at a new report from the Government Accountability Office, they are warning that the United States' current ballistic missile defense system is powerless against these new hypersonic missiles from China and Russia. And they're saying the missile's speed, altitude, and maneuverability could defeat all networked sensors, including space-based and ground and sea-based radars, ground and sea-based interceptor missiles, and render the Pentagon's command-control battle management ineffective in the event of a hypersonic missile attack. And the report said China and Russia are pursuing these weapons because of their speed, altitude, and maneuverability to defeat these missile systems. And they may be used to improve long-range conventional and nuclear strike capabilities. That's true. Some of these hypersonic weapons can be mounted on a rocket. Now, the big issue, of course, is that America's entire anti-ballistic missile system is built around a doctrine of a ballistic incoming threat. It's following a predictable curve in the sky where you can track it on radar and know that it will be at position XYZ in 5 seconds time, and you can guide a missile to hit it. These new hypersonic weapons, and for that matter, the new MIRV warheads that Russia has developed, don't do that. They maneuver. They weave back and forth. They dipsy-doodle. They corkscrew through the sky. And that makes a predicting where they're going to be impossible. The Russians and the Chinese simply designed around the U.S. ballistic missile system's assumptions. Now, here's a good one. The U.S. military's Naval Research Laboratory is developing genetically engineered organisms that it hopes will be able to detect the presence of any enemy submarines, ships, or divers. This was published in Defense One. The work is part of a $45 million initiative across all the branches of the U.S. Armed Forces that is investigating ocean-based military applications for genetic engineering. Now, Motherboard had previously reported on the military's plans to use larger aquatic animals to detect enemy ships, but now they're looking to weaponize biology on the micro scale. Given how slow microbes swim, I'm not sure how useful this is really going to be. I remember some years ago, there was actually a program in San Diego where they had a pod of dolphins that were trained to basically detect submarines and plant limpet mines on them. And the program apparently didn't work out all that well, and it was eventually canceled. And all the dolphins were released into the ocean. And the captains of all those tuna boats got very, very nervous. Now, here's another story, and it could be booga booga. But apparently, according to this headline that came out in Newsweek, China and Russia have modified the atmosphere above Europe to test possible military applications. And they're basically saying that this was what the sort of a follow-on to the High-Frequency Active Auroral Research Program known as HAARP. And they're saying that a Russian antenna array heated the ionosphere over Europe, and then a Chinese satellite flying overhead measured the results. Now, if China and Russia did this, it would be top secret. I don't see how they would announce it. So I think this is more China and Russia bashing. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
On the fifth day of global warming, Al Gore gave to me $5 for $4 gas, 3 failed automakers, 2 melting ice caps, and a fear-mongering documentary.
Hey, and aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And if you would like to help out Republic Broadcasting, and believe me, they really do need your help, I'd get down on my knees and beg you all, but it would take a forklift to get me back up. The postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during normal business hours, extension 3 at all other times. And folks, we've all been good little girls and boys, and we need a little something in our Christmas stocking. So please put us on your Christmas gift list. And the network thanks you. Okay, let's get into some of our domestic politics because there's a lot going on. And we all saw this coming here. Basically, a top Democrat is now confirming that when they take control of the House of Representatives, all of the investigations into the FBI or the Department of Justice, they're going to go away. And there will be no more investigations into wrongdoing by the FBI or the Department of Justice. And for the last couple of months with all the stonewalling, we knew they were running out the clock and that they knew the Democrats were going to win the House of Representatives with, you know, illegal immigrant voting, and they're off the hook. They got away with it all. So, okay. Apparently, Republican Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr and ranking Democrat member Mark R. Wagner, they've got Jerome Corsi in their sights, along with Donald Trump. And apparently, they are demanding to produce a wide-ranging array of documents and then testify again on alleged Russian collusion. And Burr and Warner are both strong supporters of Special Counsel Mueller. Their motivations are clearly transparent. They're trying to keep this story alive. And the demand basically requires that all documentation already produced by Dr. Corsi to Mueller be produced to them, as opposed to simply going over to Mueller's office and say, can I use your Xerox machine? And apparently, it's just going. Anyway, basically, Jerome Corsi came back and said the Senate Intelligence Committee can take a hike. All right. Now, the anti-Trump resistance is seizing on Judge Sullivan's misunderstanding of the Flynn case. And there were some noteworthy things about what happened during the sentencing hearing where U.S. District Judge Emmett G. Sullivan made several false statements about the fundamentals of Flynn's case. And in addition, he also violated one of the prime requirements of a judge. He revealed he had a bias. He was clearly hostile toward Flynn. And judges aren't supposed to be that way. So, now, Hans von Spakovsky, a Heritage Foundation senior legal fellow, explained how the FBI did, in fact, entrap former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. They used electronic surveillance, and he was offering his remarks on a Tuesday interview with Breitbart News. And von Spakovsky said the entire basis of the claim against Flynn is that he supposedly lied to FBI agents who were sent to the White House without following the usual procedures, which Comey openly admits, to interview him about telephone conversations he had with the Russian ambassador. Now, when the FBI agents talked to Flynn, they did not tell him it was a formal interview. They did not Mirandize him. They didn't remind him it's a crime to lie to the FBI. Flynn just thought they were there for a chit-chat. And then there were all those games they played with those FD-302 forms. Now, former FBI Director James Comey is now claiming that the reason he dispatched these two agents to interview Mike Flynn was because Flynn had told Vice President Mike Pence information that didn't square with classified information he had reviewed. And so he wanted to interview Michael Flynn as part of a counterintelligence mission. And Comey is now saying that President Trump asked him to let the Flynn matter go, which if he could prove that, that would be obstruction of justice. And meanwhile, of course, Comey is continuing to falsely claim that it was the Republicans who started that Christopher Steele dossier during the primary season to get Trump out of the running. And then the Democrats took it over. There's been no documentation for that. Got to take another break for commercials. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And speaking of the Christopher Steele dossier, as you know, BuzzFeed was the first platform, if you will, to put out the news about the Steele dossier. And inside that dossier, Russian businessman Alexeyev Gubarev was named as being involved in all of this. And as it turns out, he wasn't. He sued BuzzFeed last year for defamation, and BuzzFeed was dealt a major blow in court yesterday after a judge decided that Alexej is not a public figure. And so public figures typically need to be able to prove the more demanding standard of actual malice when bringing a libel suit. Non-public figures need only prove negligence. And so it looks like BuzzFeed is in serious, serious trouble over this one. Got to be very careful about what you say about people. Now, James Comey has had his second day behind closed doors, and Trey Gowdy really grilled Comey on his vastly different handling of comments by Trump and Obama. And when Trump asked Comey whether he could see his way clear to easing up on Flynn, Comey memorialized the conversation in a memo distribute it to the leadership team, including Andrew McCabe and James Baker. However, when President Obama on 60 Minutes publicly exonerated Hillary Clinton's mishandling of classified information, setting the stage for true obstruction of justice, Comey did nothing. He never talked to the president about obstruction. He never memorialized his observations, and he didn't leak anything to the press. They were things that he did with Trump, not Obama. It's a true double standard. Democrats get the Wall Street bankster treatment. Everybody else gets tossed into the slammer. And by the way, you know, James Comey's got to be suffering a tremendous amount of amnesia. Because of all the times he said he couldn't remember something or he had no recollection. And it's kind of hard to imagine a man with a brain that faulty rising to the top of the FBI. But then in looking at all these hearings of all of these people, there must be something in the drinking water that melts the brain in Washington, D.C., because nobody in Washington, D.C. seems to have a memory. They can't remember anything. Remember Hillary Clinton? Same thing. I don't recall. I don't remember. I have no specific recollection. We have a government being run by mentally damaged people here. Now, Rand Paul is considering a law banning lobbyists working for foreign governments, which I think would be a great idea. And he went on to say, I don't like the idea that Saudi Arabia spends tens of millions of dollars every year hiring people for their interests. Their ambassadors should come to our capital, tell us what the interests of Saudi Arabia are. I think it's unseemly, and a lot of people could potentially be hired that aren't working in our country's interests. Now, it's a good idea. It's not going to go anywhere, because a law that would ban lobbyists working for Saudi Arabia would also ban lobbyists working for Israel, and Israel will never, ever, ever let that happen. Okay. The Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust just published its annual list of the worst ethics violators in Washington, and two Democrats who are expected to run in 2020 made the list. One is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and the other is California Senator Kamala Harris, and both made the list for fundraising off their obstruction of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And by the way, Elizabeth Warren is now admitting she's not Native American. She's not a person of color. So, yes, you got me. I'm really white here. Now, some good news here. Donald Trump and his kids have congratulated the Senate for passing a sweeping criminal justice reform bill. The Senate passed the bill by a vote of 87 to 12 on Tuesday night. And the bill specifically addresses the fact that the war on drugs has led to the imprisonment of way too many Americans for nonviolent crimes. Smoke a joint, go to jail. That's about to go away. And the Senate passage gives Trump a signature policy victory. And I think it's a good thing because, first of all, if you look at all the states that are legalizing recreational marijuana, and apparently New York is considering it now, people who are in prison for having smoked a joint, they should be let out and reintegrated into our society. They should be allowed to basically go on out, seek work, and start living their lives again. Now, this last election saw the election of two Muslim women. And one of them, Rashida Tlaib, who's a Palestinian-American, who was unchallenged in her bid to represent Michigan's 13th Congressional District, will wear Palestinian garb for the congressional swearing-in. And I saw a photo of what she's going to wear. It is traditional Palestinian, just embroidered all over. Palestine was just known for their incredible embroidery. There was actually, many years ago, a touring exhibit of Palestinian embroidery that was touring around the world. But when it got to Los Angeles, it just somehow magically kind of disappeared, because it made Palestine look good. It made them look human. It made it look like there really was a culture there. And we can't have that. Israel doesn't like that. Anyway, as I mentioned to this caller earlier before, over at the UK Independent, they ran an article saying that Donald Trump might be the dimmest president the U.S. has ever had. And they're pointing out he does not read except in small doses, and usually when his own name appears prominently. Prior to the presidency, his only activities were real estate work and golf. He doesn't mingle with intellectuals, cultural trendsetters, or artists. And the perception, at least in the writer of this article, is that Trump is sorely lacking in sophistication. Well, we can see that in his Twitter feed. He doesn't seem to have a really good knowledge of the world, understanding of government, and only a rudimentary grasp of economics, which may explain all the times that he went into bankruptcy here. And then they end up saying that Trump remains blissfully ignorant on a range of subjects, and that is definitely not a quality we want in a president. So let's talk about the economic news here. As one of our callers mentioned before, the Fed raised the interest rates again. This is the fourth time since Trump was elected. It raised them zero times under Obama. And one of the goals may be to slow down Trump's economic boom, or possibly even wreck the economy and dump the blame on Donald Trump in order to affect the 2020 elections. Now, I understand that politics is going to exist in any society, but we have evolved to a society where politics dominates absolutely everything, just like the former Soviet Union. But according to this article that came out of Investment Watch blog, to ask the Fed to stop raising rates is to admit the bull market has been nothing but a cheap money debt balloon fantasy construct, which is definitely what it's been. And as I mentioned to that caller before, the Dow ended 351 down. It had been up 200, then down to 400, and then they pushed it back up to 351, negative 351, before the end of the day. But this is not going to go on too much longer before traders are going to panic and liquidate their stock portfolios. And it will happen very, very quickly. It will be a crash. Now, former U.S. Congressman Robert E. Bauman is out there saying that he is expecting a 70% stock market crash in 2019. Now, Bauman is a co-founder of a financial research group that accurately predicted the dot-com crash of 2000, the recession of the early 1990s, and the 1987 crash. And now he's out there saying 70% down. Now, the other day we had a story where Ron Paul was out there saying that just a 50% crash would result in devastation to the lives of ordinary Americans, worse than what happened following the crash of 1929. So get prepared for it. Over at Citigroup, they're facing losses of up to $180 million on loans made to an unnamed Asian hedge fund, which saw major losses on its foreign exchange trades. This is being reported by Bloomberg. And the hedge fund and Citi are in discussions on the positions and how they should be valued, which is usually a bad sign, as when it comes to foreign exchange, the mark-to-market is at least instantaneous. Bloomberg adds the situation is fluid and the eventual losses may end up being smaller depending upon how the trades are unwound. Over in Saudi Arabia, apparently their latest budget is now out. And apparently experts are saying Saudi Arabia is going bankrupt. Now, during the unveiling of the budget, Saudi King Salman said his country will continue paying public sector cost of living allowances for citizens and will boost spending to stimulate growth, even as Saudi Arabia toils to close its deficit, which it won't do yet again as the kingdom forecasts a sixth consecutive budget deficit in a row. Well, welcome to our world, Saudi Arabia. Those private central bankers, they got you now. Over at Bayer Monsanto, they are bleeding out. Now, when Bayer acquired Monsanto, it was thought this joint company was just going to be an incredible success, that they were going to just rule the world when it comes to biotechnology. Well, it didn't really work out. And the analysts who predicted huge profits from the further monopolization of the pesticide industry blew it. The stock is down 44%. And Bayer is rapidly cutting jobs and selling off their smaller brands in an effort to stay viable amidst all these losses, which I think is a good thing. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Monsanto lost that case in California. The courts ruled that, yes, indeed, glyphosate was the cause of this cancer in this school groundskeeper. And even though the courts rolled back the settlement, it's still a lot of money, but there are now thousands of these lawsuits piling up. As we mentioned yesterday, Goldman Sachs is facing criminal charges in Malaysia for helping billions to vanish from this state fund, 1MDB. Now, Goldman Sachs is denying the allegation, claiming it was deceived by the previous Malaysian government. Oh, we're the victims here. Remember when Goldman Sachs helped Greece hide its true debt from the EU? And they made millions on the deal, and in the process actually doubled Greece's debt. And then you had the IMF, it was Christine Lagarde, came on out and said, we don't care if half of Greece's debt was arrived at through fraud. The Greek people are still responsible for it. Jesse James was right. The real outlaws are the bankers here. Now, over in Facebook land, Mark Zuckerberg has lost $19 billion from the 2018 stock slide of Facebook. And it's, you know, been a devastating year for Facebook. He was worth around $75 billion at the beginning of the year, but he's down to just $56 billion now. So let's all feel sorry for poor old Mark Zuckerberg. Not. Apparently, speaking of Greece, more austerity is to come for them. Hundreds are protesting against the first post-bailout budget. They're very angry about that. The austerity is continuing. Meanwhile, up in Brussels, the EU bureaucrats get huge Christmas bonuses. Oh, they're going to be merry. They're going to be merry. The other day, we ran an article about how the reality for life for most of the Israeli people, and we're talking the Israelis, not the Palestinians, the Israelis, is actually very hard. And that a lot of them are going hungry. Well, it's about to get worse because apparently the cost of living in Israel, which is already one of the highest in the world, is expected to rise again in the new year thanks to the strengthening dollar against the shekel and various government policies. And electricity prices will be the first in line to be affected due to a hike on tariffs for imported raw materials used to produce electric power. This in addition to the $7 billion reform of the electricity sector, which will be financed by the Israeli taxpayer over the next 8 years. So, not too good. Global economist Noriel Roubini, one of the few who predicted the 2008 financial crisis, is sending a message to Congress saying Bitcoin is the mother of all scams and blockchain is the most hyped tech ever. And basically saying, and we've seen Bitcoin's declines over the last year, and everybody's talking about blockchain. We don't know how robust it is. We don't know if the hackers are going to be able to break into it. But he's sounding the warning saying we need to stop just throwing more high tech and more digital at everything, because it seems to make things worse. Anyway, the Senate is looking at a short-term spending plan to avoid the shutdown Friday. It's going to reach into February. It has no money in it for Trump's wall. Trump apparently has given up his fight against Chuck Schumer, and he will sign the spending deal without the wall. And then we'll get back into the fight over the border wall in February when Nancy Pelosi is presumably Speaker of the House. So Chuck Schumer is taking a victory lap on that one. Now, here's the part that's really kind of interesting. Actually, we're coming up on a commercial break, so I'm going to hold this off until after we come back from these next words from our sponsors.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. So Trump wanted $5 billion to build his border wall, and Democrats, led by Pelosi and Schumer, said absolutely not. And it led to this big fight potential for a government shutdown, which now looks like it's going to be avoided. And once again, Trump backed down, proving that he is, in fact, a weak leader. But here's what's really interesting. That border wall was going to cost $5 billion. And yet, the U.S. is sending $10 billion to Mexico and Central America to improve security conditions and job opportunities. Well, why don't we just take that money and build the wall? Why are we having to help Mexico and Central America build job opportunities? Why aren't we building job opportunities in this country? It really doesn't make a lot of sense. I thought Trump was going to make America great again. Now, there's an Air Force veteran down in Florida, triple amputee, Brian Colfag. He's 37 years old, and he's created a GoFundMe account to help fund the border wall. He set a goal of $1 billion, and he's already raised over $500,000. So apparently there are a lot of people out there who also want that wall. Now, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement appears to be gearing up for a massive border invasion. They just issued a new contract to acquire 375 million rounds of tactical rifle ammunition. That is very, very serious stuff. Out in Los Angeles, their new county sheriff, Alex Villanueva, has announced that Immigration and Customs Enforcement people will be physically removed from all the county jails. So they can't talk to people about, they basically can't do their jobs. Over in Germany, there's a bit of a stir. There's a government ministry, the German Federal Ministry for Family Affairs, and they supported a brochure that aims at changing the behavior of preschool-age children who are raised by what the brochure's author called right-wing parents who oppose gender theory, sexual diversity, the sexualization of children, and immigration. And Germans are protesting the brochure, calling it unacceptable for the state to intrude into the lives of families. And some are pointing out how this degree of intrusion is similar to what had previously been known in Germany during the times of the Nazis and the communist dictatorships. Apparently, the German government funded this brochure project for 4,600 euros. Okay, we got to take a break here for station identification. We'll be right back after these few words.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. you will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.